Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Good afternoon and welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you had a wonderful and loving Valentine's Day. I'm happy to be here again with you. And today's guest is Wade Lightheart. He is the author of Vital Power, and he's also the Canadian Natural Bodybuilding Champion, and he is one of the world's premier training and nutrition advisors. He'll be talking today about electrical life force energy, what that is, and how he was really fit, winning these bodybuilding competitions, yet he wasn't truly healthy. And unfortunately, I don't have him up on the line just yet, so while I take care of that, I'm going to play a song for you. Oh, perhaps this is him. Hi, Wade, is that you?
I think so.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing today?
Perfect timing. I'm great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a really delight to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So I was just quickly going over how you talk about electrical life force energy in your book, and you also have some tips with the acronym AWESOME, and I want to hear all about that today. But can you tell us what life force electrical life force energy is?
Well, you know, this force has been kind of referred to throughout history, whether it is chi or prana or mana or elan vital, as described by many individuals throughout history who have examined the care and function of the body. And I call it vital power because it's kind of something that you can access. It does seem limited, although in its expression in physical form, in our bodies, we can only access so much. So basically, if you were to look at a person who had just recently died compared to what they were like a few minutes ago, the energy of that body, the cells, the function, the biochemistry, the metabolism, all these sort of things are all still intact, yet something has left that individual. And that is the vital power that I'm referring to. And the philosophy that I advocate, the Awesome Health philosophy, is a way to increase and maximize one's access to that energy source so that they can use it for the expression of health, mental harmony, and creativity.
Wonderful. Well, Wade, can you tell us about how you were at the peak of your career in the fitness and nutritional industry? You were winning all these bodybuilding championships, but you weren't really feeling very healthy. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think I made a common mistake that almost everyone in the world does, and that is, as a culture, we tend to associate fitness with health. So in other words, athletes in particular are kind of worshipped and idolized, and whatever they say or endorse is taken as, oh, this is also something that's healthy. In actuality, fitness means one's capacity to do work. Usually it's related to a sport in our world. So in other words, you can jump this high, run this fast, swim this far, or whatever it happens to be. Now, fitness is a component of health, but health is the expression of vitality in the body. It's the body working, all its components working in harmonious levels of quantities and in qualities. And at our winning at all costs kind of mentality that we have in our society today, what's happened is we're at winning at whatever it takes. So we'll do whatever we have to do. We'll do ridiculous diets and intense training sessions, put all these stressors on the body. And for me, that was a culmination of 16 years of preparation as I got to go to the world championships and represent our country. And when I got off that, you know, as soon as I ended that contest preparation, my body exploded. In other words, I gained 42 pounds of fat and water in 11 weeks. I was de-energized, devitalized. I was in pain. All these sort of things that you couldn't imagine a high-performance athlete going through. It doesn't fit the protocol picture that we like to propagate out there. And that led me into a discovery of, well, what is health? And what am I missing here in these components? And I had the good fortune to, find that out on my journey.
Wonderful. And you make a really interesting statement in the beginning of your book that the medical system is not in the business of keeping people healthy. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, that's actually a statement right out of the American Medical Association Journal. So we have a system that is based on treating the symptoms of disease. So in other words, if you're going into your GP or you're going in even to a specialist or whatever you're going to do, they're going to look at what they feel is the normal operational parameters from a biochemical perspective. And they've got great technology to do that. And then they're going to say something here is in a state outside of those normal, what we call normal parameters. And then they're going to, you know, discover what that is, and then they're going to prescribe some sort of treatment to bring that back in with normal parameters. Usually that treatment is going to be a drug, or it's going to be a surgery, or it's going to be some form of invasive procedure that doesn't actually attenuate or deal with the cause. It just deals with the symptom. So, and frankly, the medical system, for the most part, most doctors and practitioners and that aren't trained in the care of the body. They're trained in treating the symptoms. They look at the drugs and the surgeries, and they're very, very good at that in short care acute therapy. However, they're not taught how to optimize the functioning of the body, how to choose the right diet or nutritional program, or how to live in the world that we are living today, because the food supply that we have access to, the amount of toxins in the environment has changed radically, the population has changed radically. There are all these other stressors that haven't been accounted for in the medical field, and really they're two separate streams. But we're all trying to be healthy. And so my goal was to say, look, let's keep people away from the doctors. Let's keep people away from dysfunction. You know, nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to have those experiences. And let's look at everything I can possibly put together in a simple format that is going to increase my vitality, increase my health, improve the functioning of my cells and my body functions, so that I can not just get by in life, but I can actually thrive and, live in the full expression of this, what we call physical reality.
Beautifully said. And so can you tell us about, let's go over your awesome way of living.
Sure. The awesome, just for anyone who's listening, awesome is an acronym. And basically, it's an all-encompassing seven-step protocol that I use to address where you should be putting your time, energy, and resources like such as money into in sequence, or where do you get the most bang for your buck. So the first thing that I address is air. Awesome stands for air, or the A stands for air. And what I mean by that is people are not aware of how powerful breath is. It's the only action in our body that we can do both consciously and unconsciously. So if I'm not thinking about breathing, it happens on its own. But I can directly control my breath. I can speed up my breath. I can slow down my breath. And there are correlative responses in the body from the nervous system, from the endocrine system, from brainwave patterns. And this is measurable throughout all science. And so now, think about, for example, if you get in a stressed out state, you know, your breathing is rapid, your pulse is higher, you're sweating, there is a typical response. And that may not actually be a response to something you eat you've eaten or something you've done, it can be actually just born from a psychological response. You get some bad news from the phone. There's some pressure from your boss. You have a conflict with a coworker or a family member or something like that. Now, although there was actually no real threat to you physically, your body has responded to a physical stress, and it's affected your breathing pattern, your breathing. So by returning to the breath and practicing deep diaphragmic breathing every day, we have an ability to drive more oxygen into the body, remove more waste products out of the body, and have a fuller expression of health. And the best news about air is it's relatively inexpensive. It doesn't cost anything. And I think this is largely in part why a lot of people don't put a lot of value on it until they get inside maybe a yoga course or a meditation course, have done a Tai Chi course, and have started to practice deep breathing and see the effects on the body.
And so what about for people who live in a city like Los Angeles or New York where there's a lot of smog?
Absolutely. This is a challenge. And so some of the recommendations are, first off, we cannot control a lot of the environments that we are subjected to. However, we can control our inner environment. And so still, deep breathing has a twofold effect. One is to get oxygen inside the body, but more importantly, it is to expel the toxic substances that are within the body. And so we think of breathing as just a big inhale, where in actuality, the exhale may actually be more important than the inhale part of the body. So if you're subjected to Los Angeles or, you know, maybe one of these other places that has a high toxic level, you can do a couple things. Get air treatment systems for inside your house or the areas that you spend the most time with. Take time to go out near ocean areas or high mountain areas where you get lots of air ions and practice deep breathing there. And, of course, practice your deep breathing exercises several times throughout the day to ensure that you're getting enough oxygen, because there is a difference. There is a definite difference, say, living in downtown Los Angeles versus on a high mountaintop. And anybody that's, you know, can compare them will experience it.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so the next one that in the awesome acronym is W for water. And again, us living in the city, we have water that comes out of our tap. It's going through all of these pipes. It's chlorinated. It's goodness knows what else they put in it.
Yes, water, I believe, is going to be the biggest commodity on the planet, if it isn't already. I mean, we can kind of complain about our gas prices, but your average liter or quart of water, depending on what side of the border you're purchasing it from, costs a significant higher price than the gas you put in your car, and there's no substitute for it. Unfortunately, we have all learned that water is, you know, the classically determined as H2O. And I would encourage anyone listening to the show to, there's a wonderful documentary called Water, the Great Mystery. And it's basically a conglomeration of all the greatest minds who have been studying water today in science. And their conclusion is, well, we don't really know that much about water. What we do know that it has a structure. We do know it's the only substance that can occur naturally in nature as a solid, as a liquid, and as a gas. We know that it has a structure, a cluster. This structure, this affects its absorbability. It's also a solvent. In other words, if you put it inside a container, it can take on the energy of container, which is can be detrimental if we're looking at things like plastic bottles. It can be an advantage if we're putting, you know, if we're going as far as to putting good intention into it or putting solvents like minerals that can benefit the body. So there is a whole host of things that water, it can have a charge, it can absorb light, it can hold emotion, it has memory. I mean, water is a pretty incredible substance, and we've built a system of cleaning it. We've improved the situation from, you know, several hundred years ago when people were dying from bacteria infections in water, and we've chosen to use things like chlorination to kill the bacteria. Unfortunately, these type of chemicals do have a damaging effect on the body if taken in en masse. And the public has to recognize it's not to play the blame game with our federal politicians and those people. They're trying to do the best job they can, but we have to take personal responsibility for our water sources. And anyone that's bringing water into their house has to put some type of filtration on their house. At the worst, at the very, very lowest, at least get the chlorine out. That there's no benefit to that inside the body, and on your showers it's very absorbent in the body. And then there is a variety of water technologies out there that you choose to, ranging from $20 or $30 little filters that you put to filter your water, all the way up to whole house systems that can cost anywhere up to $100,000. I've seen some of them, some of these very elaborate technologies that are used for hydration or ionization or filtration or restructuring, and there's just an explosion of technology out there to investigate.
And so, I want to talk more about water later on in the show, but let's move on to the E for the exercise.
Yes. So, one of the amazing things about the 20th century and now the 21st century is that we have found an array of ways to eliminate exercise. In other words, 100 years ago, we didn't really have to worry that much about exercise because you had to plow the back 40 or chop wood and, as grandma and grandpa say, walk uphill to school both ways in the winter and all that sort of stuff. But, life was physically engaging. There was a lot of physical activity, and the human body, how I came up with, air, water, and exercise, you can go only a few minutes without air. You can go a few days without water, and you can only go maybe a few months without some form of exercise. And we can determine that by, if you put someone in a stretcher in a hospital setting, or you get a broken bone and you put the muscle in a cast, you see how quickly the body will degenerate. It's an issue for astronauts who aren't subjected to gravity in space, how they waste away rather quickly and has amazing effects on the body. So I look at exercise as something that needs to be activated every day, and how do you do it efficiently? Because I don't know what happened, but we learned that we were going to have all this amazing free time when all this technology came in. You're going to have computers and phones and TVs. All these things are going to make more time, but it seems it's had the opposite effect. And so most people have a real challenge around daily exercise, or they haven't built the habit inside their structure. They put priorities on other areas because of financial pressures or goal pressures or all these sort of things. But the reality is, we need to address exercise on a daily basis. And the first rule of exercise is this: do whatever you love. Because if you love to do it, there's a tendency to do more of it, or it's easy and it's fun. And I think one of the things that kids understand is that exercise can be fun. Number two is, if you're really, really pressed for time and you have to get the maximum benefit for the least amount of effort, I really don't think there's anything that is superior to using a Cellarsizer, which is a kind of an advanced form of a mini trampoline that David Hall developed. I think that is just the absolute best piece of equipment. You can get a whole workout in 10 minutes a day, work every cell in the body. You train your internal organs. 75 trillion cells working simultaneously at once is an incredible achievement. And, of course, it's been researched, documented. NASA said this was probably the best form of exercise to recondition astronauts coming back, and I think it's the best form of exercise that you can do in the comfort of your own home quickly, easily, and efficiently.
Just bouncing on a trampoline.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What's interesting is we look at exercise from, how much muscles or how much you can run or all these sort of things, but if you're looking at exercise, and everything I look at is what's happening at the cellular level, how is that cell functioning? And if you look at a child when they're born, if they're colicky or they start crying or whatever, what does the mother do? She rocks them. And if you look at a child, they have a little too much sugar or whatever, what do they start bouncing up and down, particularly if they can find a couch or a bed. Well, the body has a built-in mechanism that pumping lymphatic fluid through the system, which is the fluid that bathes all the cells in your body. That's what pulls toxins out of the cells and out of the lymph nodes, which are located primarily in your neck and your armpits and your groin. And this is the natural detoxification process that our body has, and it works best with movement. Now, all exercise goes against gravity. So whether it's swimming or running or lifting weights or any form of exercise goes against gravity. Well, when you're bouncing on the cellar size or like the mini trampoline, what's happening is you're contracting each and every one of those cells. You're using acceleration and deceleration, both. You're leveraging the forces of gravity to work with you, not against you. So as you bounce up, you get a total zero point where all your cells are in a complete relaxed state. Then you accelerate into the mat, and then there's a deceleration phase as the mat goes goes down a little bit, and then the springs bounce you back up in the air. Well, that gives you twice as much work on every cell in your body than, say, if you're running where the impact is where you land. The other thing is it creates a pumping action on every one of your cells. So each cell is acting like a little pump. That pushes good stuff in, bad stuff out, and flows it up through the system and out through the lymphatic drainage system. And so this is a great way to detoxify the system every day. And we have a little protocol where people get up in the morning. We actually do the deep breathing right on there. We pump water into them and vitamins and minerals right off the bat before we even eat, so that we've cleaned and bathed the cells and everything that they could possibly need to function and pull in this electrical life force energy into the body.
Amazing. And so, Wade, what about, so first of all, we've covered A, air, W, water, E, we just went over exercise, and now S, sunlight. Let's talk about how important sunlight is not only in our body but also in the foods that we eat.
Absolutely. I mean, really, if you look at where we're living, we live in a solar system, and on its smallest component, everything is really frozen light. I think it was David Bohm, the great physicist, that has coined that term. And so if you look at your book, if you look at your food, if you look at everything that you see, it's actually condensed light. And you can get into the structure of it. So when we're looking at food, we want to eat types of food that have the most easily accessible amount of light in them. And so these are things like fruits, vegetables, things that actually grow. As we go through the processing of food, what happens is we keep removing more and more of the light factor or the life force factor from the food. And that is what I believe contributes to a de-energized state. And it also contributes to the toxification process. So the additives and preservatives and things that aren't in their natural state, these take more energy from the body to process, digest, and eliminate. No one needs a preservative inside their body to live optimally. It may keep the food on the shelf longer and increase the profits of a corporation, but that has nothing to do with the function of the body. So it's really hard to top nature. We do have technology that has made nature more accessible. So, for example, there's great ways of, grinding up seeds to make them more digestible in the body via the various vegetarian protein powders and these sort of things. There's ways of shipping, and there's all sorts of ways to enhance the yield of crops organically that we can use. However, when you start eating from a box, you start to feel like a box.
Mm-hmm.
And so sunlight, and even actually sunbathing has gotten a bad rap. And if you look for thousands and thousands of years, there was a therapy called heliotherapy. And heliotherapy was, treating the body with the sun. And it's a very simple thing. We've kind of lost touch with ourselves. I mean, if you wanted to take a vacation, would you want to take a vacation, in the coldest part of the Northwest, up in the, right by the Arctic Circle, in the middle of the winter when it was dark 24/7 and, minus 50? Or would you rather be down someplace on a nice sunny beach with palm trees and nice weather, sun reflecting off the ocean and the water? Which would you feel the best at? Well, other than a few people on the planet, most people would probably feel better in the latter situation. You know, anytime there's a sunny day and you go out on a sunny, warm day, you automatically feel good. And I believe that your natural feel-good hormones, if you will, or your feeling good, is a self-guidance system that somehow we've seemed to turn off and given up our authority to, you know, to so-called science, when the human body has everything it needs to function properly. So, you know, all the science in the world cannot replicate a single blade of grass. So, yet grass grows almost anywhere. And the same thing, we haven't been able to replicate the human body or create one ourselves. It has abilities and function far surpassing all the technology that we've developed in human history. And so those emotions are great self-guidance. And I advocate doing, you know, just a 10-minute sunbathe a day, or if you're in a northern climate, sometimes maybe two 30-minute sessions would be easier for you in the week. If you're under fluorescent lighting, definitely want to put a full-spectrum light by your computer or something, because the frequency of the light definitely affects brainwave patterns, nervous system function, moods, all this sort of stuff. And I've had lots of people that's had challenges with moods and work in office-type situations. Just put a full-spectrum light and transform their life in the amount of vitality they feel, the health they feel, you know, it's simple and it's easy and everybody can do it.
So, Wade, where do you get a full-spectrum light bulb?
Usually if you look around at some of the natural health food stores or go online, you can access them. There are a variety of companies that sell this technology. Some people have gone as far to install these through their whole house. There are, if you look at seasonal affective disorder syndrome that people go into, most of those sites will have links to where you can buy full spectrum lighting. And even some progressive hardware stores are now carrying full spectrum lighting, because this has become an issue. We've spent most of our time as humans up to the industrial age outdoors, which is thousands and thousands of times more light than nowadays, where we spend most of our time indoors, and this has a detrimental effect on our health.
And so, Wade, what about optimizers? We're at the O in awesome. What are optimizers?
Yeah, so optimizers are things that enhance the form and function of the body. In other words, there are essential components that our body uses and that also tend to get exhausted over time. In other words, things that we require to, you know, digest our food and to think and to fight off disease and to run the variety of chemical and functions inside the body. And so I list them in order of priority in the formula. So we have, starting off, we have enzymes. Fantastic book out there was written a long time ago by a fellow by the name of Dr. Edward Howell. And he referred to how enzymes are used for every process in the body, basically from thinking to blinking. Anything that you do requires an enzymatic process. The challenge is that enzymes are naturally occurring in our food. However, most of our food is either cooked, or even if we've had fruits and vegetables, it's traveled across the land, they've been irradiated, or they've been subjected to pesticides or fertilizer, these sort of things, which interrupt or destroy all of the enzymatic function. So you can imagine your enzymes are like your energy bank account. Enzymes basically are the difference between, in inorganic matter, like rocks and stones and plants and people, like the living from the dead. The difference is really enzymes. And so as we age, or as we go through the aging process, we start to draw upon our enzymatic pool in the body. So every time I eat some cooked food, I require to generate digestive enzymes from my body. Anytime I have an injury to the tissues, whether it's from a toxin or whether it's from a blunt force trauma, I need more enzymes to repair that issue. If I get a disease or an illness or anything like that, I exhaust more of my enzymes, to the point that the average 40-year-old is coming in with 30% of the enzymes they had at birth. And so what people think is natural, normal aging process, oh, I don't have as much energy, or I need to sleep more, or I'm tired more, I have all these things, really can be traced back to a deficiency in enzymes, very much like if you had a deficiency in your bank account. All of a sudden, well, we don't need the second car. We don't need the 200 channels of cable. We'll cut back on that. The body just starts to cut off non-essential function until finally a major organ goes down. And Hal does an amazing job of explaining how this works inside the body. And one of the ways to combat that is to supplement one's diet with digestive enzymes, which from all the research is indicating get converted to metabolic enzymes if they're in excess or taken on an empty stomach. So this is a very, very powerful effect, provided that you're taking a high-quality enzyme. Again, like any other optimizer, any other nutritional product, there's a wide spectrum of what's good, what's not so good, and what's virtually worthless. And doing your due diligence and research is very, very important because it's any one of these topics can be taken to a wonderful level, or it can be taken just for profitability, someone just putting hopes in a bottle. So enzymes is something I take every single day, and all my clients do the exact same thing, and the results are astounding. Second on that list,
Do you have a list of some of the things that you recommend on your website?
Yes. In fact, if people go to my website, Maximum Vital Power, they can go in and I actually send them a free ebook and an audio course. They just have to, you know, put their name and email in, and I'll send it off to them so I can kind of explain all the details of how this works sequentially. For the most part, if people just got the air, water, and exercise down on a daily basis, and we have a 15-minute-a-day regimen, they'd be in great shape. They want to take their health and vitality to the next level. That's where they want to get into things like optimizers, which are enzymes, probiotics, vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, essential amino acids, and then you go into herbs, which are used primarily for special forms and functions.
So, again, that website is MaximumVitalPower.com. Is there anything else you want to add about optimizers?
I would put a couple of things in there. Dr. Linus Pauling stated, a two-time Nobel Prize winner, stated that all disease can be traced to a mineral deficiency. And I think as a society, we are radically deficient in essential minerals. And we're taking in too many things like calcium and stuff, but it's calcium and everything, and it's throwing off the delicate balance. People think, take more calcium. Well, these things work in combination, and for the most part, a good vitamin mineral supplement, I prefer liquid forms for absorbability, and a good probiotic blend are absolute essentials. So enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins and minerals, I think, are the absolute essentials that everybody needs to take every day as their insurance plan to keep them from getting into a compromised situation and also to accelerate their own health and vitality.
Wonderful. And so I wanted to ask you about a friend of mine has been taking kefir. She's been, and that's a probiotic, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So the history of probiotics, they've been out through history, and the science kind of discovered them with the study of L. bulgaricus. These Bulgarian peasants were living to be well over 100 years old, and they wanted to know why were they were doing this. Well, they made this kefir-like substance, this yogurt, they would brew up in the evening with the culture at night, and then in the morning they would eat this for breakfast, and then in the afternoon they might have some, and in the evening. Well, when the research came out, they showed that these probiotics, and that means pro-life, had the ability to have a wonderful functions in the body. We need probiotics to live. We have literally thousands of kinds of probiotics inside our body. These things digest food. They regulate immune system function. They attack foreign invaders. They do amazing things. And so by producing a kefir, we were able to grow the culture outside before we actually consumed it, and then we consume it into the body. The big challenge is I feel that for maximum effectiveness for kefir products to work, or the yogurts, other things, they should be made in-house and at home, because it's very, very hard to stabilize these cultures, because you get spoilage, right? And it's actually fermented foods is what you're looking at in this. And if you know how to do it, or you've learned, there's lots of great information out there on learning how to do these products. Donna Gates is a big proponent of this kind of stuff. You can do it in your own house. If you're looking to purchase it at the store, chances are you're not going to get the results you want, because those early studies showed that buying a product after it's been made, say, the night before, you're only going to get maybe 25% efficacy after the first day. So,
and it's probably
sitting
on the shelf in the fridge for at least a couple of weeks before you
exactly.
buy it.
Exactly. And so that's why I'm a big fan of using stabilized, freeze-dried probiotics that you can use, and they're just a lot more convenient, in our modern society.
And so let's talk about mindset.
Yeah, so we probably could have put that first, but it would have just totally messed up the acronym.
Yeah.
health is really a choice, more so than it is by chance. What we do know is if you follow the modern lifestyle as it is, if you buy into the program of health care that we have, which is really sick care, if you choose not to exercise, you choose to eat all your things out of the box, you're going to run into some challenges. This is a mindset and a choice that we as individuals make either consciously or unconsciously. And we have to determine for ourselves that we are going to express health to the best of our ability. Now, unfortunately, oftentimes we got programmed, if you will, with unconscious programs. There's a lot of attention generated from getting sick. You know, mom gave us a cookie, the doctors took care of us, we got a lot of attention. And so sometimes we have to address some of our beliefs and attitudes that are under the surface that are actually pulling us into sickness or making us take care of everybody else, but not necessarily ourselves. You know, the classic, you know, power mom, that she's out there, she's working in her business and doing all that. She's, you know, being her a wife and taking care of her husband, and she's also, you know, part of the soccer club and the ballet organization and the home and school meeting, and she's got a professional career she's doing, and she's doing all these sort of things. But she hasn't taken the time to take care of herself, and there's a lot of pressure in our society today on being like super people. And what generally gets left out of our caring for everyone else, we forgot to take care of ourselves and donate a little bit of time to our physical body. And then all of a sudden, you know, years go by and it sends us a message that, hey, wait a minute, you weren't paying attention to me. And, you know, getting around and addressing those issues is one of the reasons that I think as a society we have to do, because what we're doing now is not working. We have childhood obesity rates extremely high. We have people, higher rates of depression. And we have an obesity crisis happening throughout the world now, which is really threatening the species itself. And we've socially accepted it. And I think we have to take responsibility, not to put anybody down because, you know, they're having challenges overweight, but we have to take responsibility as individuals and as groups and put a valuation on, hey, let's spend time on our health so we're not spending a whole lot of time and money on our sickness. And there's a lot of great books out there. There's a lot of great stuff. But I really believe it comes down to a daily ritual where you're putting good information into your brain every single day. Because if you're not putting good stuff in, that brain is just a voracious appetite. And we're hit by so many messages that tell you that you're less than. You're less than if you don't look this way. You're less than if you don't have this car. You're less than if you don't have this job or wear these clothes or buy this. That's generally the media message that we're getting today to sell commercial products. You've got to recognize that you're an unlimited individual with unlimited abilities and power. And if you can tap into that field, that vital energy field that makes us who we are, then you can recognize and express that in physical form. And doing it as a daily ritual to remind ourselves is important.
Awesome. And awesome that it's awesome. So on to the final E, I just want to go over the acronym before we go on to the final E, which is education. So A is air, water, exercise, sunlight, optimizers, mindset, and finally, how important is education?
Yeah, and I've expanded this into et cetera, education, testing, and coaching. One of the things I love doing is I believe that teaching is the highest forms of learning, and it's one of the reasons I love to teach. is because I'm always learning and every time I talk about this. But I encourage everyone else to get an education about their own health. The body is an incredible, incredible machine. There is really nothing like it. It is the pinnacle of evolution on our planet. And the fact that it just does all these functions on its own inherently demonstrates there is some sort of collective or super intelligence that's running all this. We don't have to think about how our food digests. We don't have to think about how our blood pumps or how we go to the bathroom even or any of these functions that we all take for granted. But yet it continues to do so. And when you actually look at this or read information about it or watch some videos on it, you start to marvel and recognize about what a wonderful gift it is to have a physical body and all the things that you can do with it. And that's and tapping into people and places that are excited and value this and have information to share can get you excited and valuing what you already have and encouraging you to go further on that journey. The other thing is getting regular testing and not testing from your medical doctor per se, although I'm a big advocate of going in and making sure everything's going to function. But let's look at some of the alternative testing practices that can give you a real good idea, number one, of where you're at, but number two, of how whatever program you've implemented in your life is working. And I'm a big proponent of getting tests like fitness tests are fantastic. Most gymnasiums or fitness facilities will give you one of those tests for no cost or very low cost, which is, you know, oxygen carrying capacity, flexibility, strength and stuff, and will give you an idea where you're at and, you know, give you some ideas of where to go from. Live blood cell analysis and dry blood cell analysis, I think those are really great. They can demonstrate oxygen carrying capacity of the body, enzymatic levels inside the body, and also, particularly in the dry blood cell, is the amount of heavy metal toxicity that you may be carrying in your body and how you can go about removing this. And as you go through the cleansing processes or healing processes and vitalization processes, you can actually see how you increase or you start to improve over time. And this can be very motivating. In other words, you might not see all the results you want on the outside, but when you start looking at your blood and seeing this, you go, wow, oh my goodness, I'm actually producing results. And this becomes very, very motivating to the individual and to the client. And, of course, now then you can get into more adept machines as you go along with some of the practitioners in biofeedback machines, which are an ever-expanding field. Finally, the other part of education is the coaching process. Once you've done testing or you've got some education about health and wellness, you've done some tests, you recognize, okay, here's where I'm at, and I would like to, you know, achieve this outcome or do this direction, you're probably going to need some help to get along this. I don't think it's a good idea to rely on your cousin or your mom or your brother or your sister or those people that you already have relationship dynamics built with. I think it's really important to get an objective coach who has a professional demeanor and attitude and has an ability to quickly identify and help you self-correct so you get maximum results in the least amount of effort. And also, you're not drawing in any old relationship dynamics that don't allow you to look at maybe what you could be doing objectively. I think with the way life is changing so quickly nowadays, you know, we're careers end in 3 or 4 or 5 years as opposed to a whole lifetime. We're constantly needing to readjust and reevaluate, and coaches provide an opportunity for us to recalibrate and cut the learning curve, if you will, to go where we want to go.
Wonderful. Well, Wade, thank you for going over the awesome acronym, and I do have some more questions. But before we get to that, there was a question in the chat room when you were talking about exercise. You were talking about the trampoline and how it can help to detoxify with your lymph glands. And there was a question about kettlebells. Rebecca Happy wanted to know your opinion on the kettlebells that they used for training Russian athletes.
Yeah, kettlebells have been an absolute amazing exercise we've used a long, long time ago, and I know a number of athletes who use it. It is a very highly technically skilled exercise format, and a lot of athletes are using it in the high-performance area or people who are looking at kind of creative ways to address their exercise component. However, it does require some professional education that I'm a big proponent of it. If you like it, particularly athletes tend to work very well with it because there's some core stability and strengthening that kettlebells offer. It's a fantastic field. For the beginner, someone starting out or someone just looking to get going, I would say get yourself established in a good pattern before you get too deep into the kettlebells because there is a learning curve involved with it. So,
a kettlebell?
Well, a kettlebell is it looks like the old style kettle. So it has a handle on it, and it's got kind of like a horseshoe shape coming down into a ball that sits on the ground.
Oh,
and,
with weights on it?
Well, the ball is actually, usually they're made of like cast iron. And so you, depending on the size of the kettlebell or the kettleball, determines how much weight they are. And they're a little bit unwieldy when you use them. And, of course, as an athlete, this is what you want to achieve. You want something that is very hard, very difficult, very unwieldy to move around so that you have to develop a superior nervous system functioning that will support you in an athletic environment. So it's great for building a lot of strength, a lot of balance, a lot of agility, speed, and power coordination, particularly for sport-specific training.
Wonderful. Okay, so I think I've seen those at the gym. But for all over, if you just need one workout that's really quick, you recommend the trampoline. And there was a brand that you had recommended.
Yeah, the thing is that I recommend David Hall's Cellar Sizer. I mean, if you meet David, he's in his 50s. He looks like he's in his 30s. He's got so much energy and vitality. It's amazing. He's got a great story. But more importantly, he has constructed virtually the best trampoline on the market. There's a lot of cheap imitations and knockoffs that it got popular way back in the 70s when NASA started using it to recondition their astronauts, and the rebounders started being built, that they called them rebounders or mini trampolines. And what happened, the market was flooded with little cheap imitations. And I can see these will be $40 or $50. And the problem is people can bottom out on those trampolines, which they'll hit the floor, the springs can break, they can fall apart, or they're made with like bungee cords and stuff, which causes the knees to pronate, which creates shearing forces on the spine. So you want to invest in a high quality product that's going to last you a lifetime. And David Hall's equipment is virtually indestructible. And he's got a portable one that I use. I travel. I got one right here in my hotel room. I travel with it everywhere. It folds up, and I can take it on the road where I travel a lot, set up my hotel in 30 seconds, do my workout in 10 minutes, put it back in there in 30 seconds, and the whole thing's less than 15 minutes. And I've got a full-body workout on. So it really gets over the objections of convenience, of portability, and accessibility, and time. There's just nothing better. And you can get us, you can get one of those at sellersizer.com, and you know, just tell Dave I sent you, and he'll be sure to take care of you.
Cool, great to know. And so I wanted to talk one portion of your book. You talk about the cycles of, you know, wellness, and there's one of them was the starving and polluting cycle.
Yeah.
And there was something that I noticed that was really interesting there. You had mentioned that Air Force pilots aren't allowed to have aspartame, artificial sweetener, before they fly a jet. And so, I mean, I've never, where did you get that information from?
This is some research. So when we were doing, we started digging up aeronautical research in the effects of aspartame on brain balancing. And if you, there's a site out there that I think it's on, it's called aspartame. If you type in aspartame on Google or whatever, you'll track down through a few of them and you'll find some of this research. This is, when you start looking at, goodness, we're putting this stuff inside our bodies. Aspartame creates, when inside the body, you know, turns into formaldehyde. And this impairs brain functioning in the body, particularly crossing between left and right brains. And if you're into a high, you're flying a multi-million dollar machine for the federal government, you want to make sure your brain is operating at peak capacity, especially when these individuals are traveling at the speeds that they're doing and doing the things that they need to do to perform their job. So it is something that I don't, you know, if they're not want to put it in that situation, why would I want to put this in any situation? And the other aspect is the addictive nature of Aflatane. And when I went back to my, and how I discovered this was going back to when I was dieting for that first show, or that first World Championships in 03, I was allowed to drink diet sodas, which were laced with aspartame. And what I noticed was, is I couldn't stop drinking them. I was on a very restricted calorie diet. And what happened is it created an effect in the body where I'd have one and then a couple hours later I would want that. And I didn't want to have water. I wanted a diet soda instead of having a soda. So there was a definite effect with me in my behaviors. It altered my behavior patterns. And, of course, this was shown commercially when aspartame was started added to food products, is the consumption level of those food products rose dramatically for any of the manufacturers that put them out. And, of course, that's a great way if you want to increase your commercial bottom line, is put something into the food that's going to accentuate eating it. And if you look, since the advent of aspartame, has it had a positive effect on reducing the incidence of obesity in a country?
No.
It's absolutely the opposite effect. So I just look at, let's just be critical, and let's look at what makes sense. Are we getting leaner since aspartame came out, or are we getting fatter as a nation? Well, we're getting fatter as a nation, so I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but I think it's certainly something significant to look at, and all the data indicates that it is.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, I know that when I try not to, I mean, I eat a fairly low-carb diet, so I don't eat sugary things. So occasionally I'll allow myself to have a diet soda as a treat. But just the same as when you were drinking them, if I go for a month without having a diet soda, I'm not craving one. But as soon as I have one, I'll have one every day for a week before I start saying, whoa, I need to stop drinking this every day.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I've, you know, having coached thousands of clients from around the world, I've noticed that same pattern over and over again. One of the things I always have people do is journal in your dietary process, whatever form your function, journal your mood, journal how you feel, journal your cravings. And when you do that for just even a week, you'll start to see definitive patterns that are relative to your unique body chemistry. Just like, oh, I had a Diet Coke for lunch. Noticed at 3 o'clock, I was really, really hungry. Had another Diet Coke. Oh, you ate too much at supper, you know, in the evening. Had another, and it's very interesting to see these patterns build up in your own life. And then you can go, wait a minute, look what's happening. And your story is exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's people who drink like 3 liters of diet soda a day and don't think anything of it because it doesn't have any calories. Yet they're probably 300 pounds. So.
Absolutely. One of the things that I'd like to put out there for people to consider is that when we gain weight, and, you know, we all want to have the cosmetic ideal of how, you know, that's propagated out there, how we're supposed to look. We don't recognize that when we gain weight, our body is actually responding to our environmental conditions perfectly. In other words, they're putting the toxins that we can't process with our liver or our endocrine system in the body. They're storing those toxins inside a fat cell, so that when we have the right conditions, we'll be able to access that fat cell and process those toxins at a rate that is harmonious with the body. And so a lot of people who go through a cleansing program or a fasting program at first feel very, very sick, or even if they go on a healthy diet, because now some of these toxins are being released from these fat cells into the body and into the bloodstream in order to be removed and cleared out of the system. And so we know that if you take people that have had liposuction and we look what's inside those cells, well, primarily we're going to find all sorts of toxins, particularly herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides, which are being used en masse. And the body is unique in taking those chemicals, storing it inside a fat cell to protect our inner organ. And so always remember, whatever's going on in your life, your body is responding perfectly to what you're doing it. If you want a different result, you need to change what you're doing.
Beautifully said. And So, Wade, we just have 5 minutes left in the show. I want to put out your website again, MaximumVitalPower.com. And I did have some questions about water, because I know that one of the things that you work with is it restructured water?
Yes. If you look at water, it does have a structure. In other words, we think of water as H2O, but H2O never exists as a single molecule in a liquid, only as a gas. In a liquid format, you'll have these little clusters, these little rings all blocked together. And water that comes out of your tap or water that comes in a bottle has a cluster or a structure that is humongous. In other words, it's so big you can't actually absorb it by the cells. And you've probably had this experience. Maybe on a hot day, you grabbed a liter of water, either you drank, poured it in the tap, or you got it from a bottled water source, and you drank it. Well, what happens was the water was probably sloshing around inside your stomach, and you felt kind of bloated. Most people can relate to that. But what's actually happened is that structure of the molecule is so big, and this comes from Dr. Horst Filter, one of the leading vascular surgeons in North America, who said that there's a aquaporins inside your cell, which is like a chain link fence. And what happens when you consume these types of water, the water would be the equivalent of a tennis ball trying to get inside your chain link fence. And when you throw the tennis ball at the chain link fence, it doesn't get in, and that's why it sloshes around in your stomach. So one of the things that I do is I have a system that I hook to my tap that cleans all the water, first takes all the gunk out of the water, and then changes the structure through an electrolysis process that brings the water back to a smaller molecule. In other words, turning that tennis ball size of droplet, if you will, and this is illustrative, of course, into like a handful of marbles that when I throw it at the cell, it permeates and absorbed by the cell relatively easily. So, I mean, a person can drink 2, 3, 4 liters of restructured water not have that bloated feeling. You'll probably go to the bathroom and pee some out as you push it out of your cells, but the hydration comparison is truly extraordinary. And then you start to realize, wow, bottled water and tap water really isn't the water that we're looking for. And, of course, I go back to that restructured video, Water the Great Mystery, where they actually show a person putting restructured ionized water inside their body on a live blood cell analysis, and a complete transformation of how much of what the blood actually looked like. It's truly, truly remarkable, and that's one of the reasons why I use the technology. And now it's starting to gain traction with high-performance athletes and holistic health practitioners. So I think you're going to see a lot of technology over the next 4 or 5 years coming out in regards to changing the structure of your water, changing the charge of your water, changing the pH of your water. There's so many aspects of water that we didn't know that are now coming to point, and the technology is now coming to a point where it's relatively affordable for families, and in my opinion, absolutely necessary.
And so what's the difference, just quickly, we're running out of time here, but what's the difference between the restructured water and, like, I have a Santivia filtration system where I pour it through and it goes through all these stages, and it's said to be alkalized water, and then there's a little magnet on the spout. What's the difference between that and what you do?
Oh, very good question. Well, first off, I think any water filtration or structuring system is an improvement. So what happens when the water goes through there in that system, and I actually used to have one of those, the water is first cleaned through the filtration process. It's similar to what would happen to water that goes into the ground table. And then it's run through a collection of minerals. And then that water goes through a magnet. And the magnet has an ability to change, in combination with the water that's been cleaned and mineralized, which boosts the pH, changes the electrical properties or the structure of how these little crystals go together. And so that is one way of achieving it. What I have found, though, is that because the water that we're getting today is in such a damaged state, the average municipality, that's not significant enough in order to change the water enough that it hydrates the body. Also, when you involve magnets in around water, you can actually create a magnetic effect that'll change the polarity so that the water won't go into the cell the way that you want. And so, again, you want to be regulating and getting hydration tests. There's an interstitial water scan, probably the best way to check your hydration levels, because pretty much 99% of the population is hydration. And when I started using an electrolysis generator, what I found with myself and all the clients that I was dealing with is that they were going from chronic dehydration and an acidic pH, regardless of what technology they're using, that just in a few weeks, they were able to get to perfect pH and perfect hydration. So I understood that the science made sense and that the practical applications of it in the real world were demonstrating that it was a superior way to hydrate the body, going back to creating those little tiny, tiny water molecules that were absorbable by the cells of the body.
Wonderful. Well, I'm just wondering, you mentioned that there's more technology coming out. How long do you think, because these high-tech filtration systems are wonderful, but not everyone has the income to invest in one.
Mm-hmm.
How many years
do
you think it's going to be before it's readily available for any economic level?
Well, I think it really comes down to public awareness and demand. If you've looked throughout history, when the public demands more and more technology, the price of the technology tends to come down. The biggest thing is to always make sure that you're balancing price with quality, because there always will be some guys saying it's the same thing and not quite as good or whatever. So a little bit of information and research and getting around some experts in the area is always a good idea in any choice, and that goes back to the education, testing, and coaching. Don't do a five-minute internet search and think that you're an expert on whatever the topic is. Go seek out a holistic healthcare professional that knows what's going on and have them regulate and monitor and give you the direction that you require, as well as your own self-guidance.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Wade. We are out of time, but I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add before we close the show.
Just to all the listeners that are out there, come on to the site, MaximumVitalPower.com. We'll go through the whole thing. I'll send you a free ebook on how you get started, as well as an audio course, my coaching program, and a 30-day coaching program to help you make those steps integrated in your life. It's worth it. Do it. You'll love it. And your life will definitely be more awesome than it already is right now. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Yay. Thank you so much, Wade. Again, MaximumVitalPower.com. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wade. Take care. Bye-bye. So again, that was Wade Lightheart. He is the author of Vital Power, a dynamic philosophy for producing optimum health and vitality without diets, drugs, or doctors. And again, his website is MaximumVitalPower.com. I'm Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today for another episode of Namaste Radio. It's been such a pleasure serving you. I hope that you have received a wealth of information and that you check out Wade Lightheart and his website, MaximumVitalPower.com. We'll be back again in 2 weeks for another educational, uplifting episode of Namaste Radio. Be well, take care, namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend. Favorite this show and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.